Beloved congregation of the Lord, we are in the time of the year that we call Advent. The time of the year where we anticipate and celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in Bethlehem. And as Christians living during this time, we are also looking forward to His second coming on the clouds of heaven, anticipating that. We read this morning together that well-known passage of Scripture from Luke chapter 1, where the angel Gabriel comes to the Virgin Mary and announces she's going to give birth to the Holy One. That she who is a virgin is going to be pregnant, and we know Mary's questions, how shall this be? And the Lord's answer to that question was, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary replied, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And then the angel departed from her. And Mary must have been thinking of all the things that the angel said to her. How she said, fear not, Mary, the Lord is with you. You have found favor with God. You're not alone, Mary. And yet, Mary needed someone to talk to. She needed somebody to that she could go and try to make sense of her situation. And then she remembers something else Gabriel said that we might have missed in that very important announcement. And that is that her cousin Elizabeth is also pregnant. 6 months pregnant in her old age. So Mary is going to pay a visit to her cousin Elizabeth. And we're going to join her at that house. And children, we're going to be able to hear this morning what that wise old mother had to say to her young teenage cousin who is pregnant. So our text this morning is Luke 1. Verse 39 through 45, focusing mainly on verses 42 and 45. Let me just read those two verses for you now. Verse 42, then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And then verse 45, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And we see in this text that Jesus is called blessed. And believers are called blessed. And we want to find out this morning, why is that? Why is Jesus called blessed? And why are believers called blessed? Mary rose in those days. She went to the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth in those days. So we could think shortly after Gabriel's visit and his announcement. And she went with haste. That doesn't mean that just simply that she ran fast. But no, that word haste has the idea in it of eagerness and diligence and having a purpose. She came with haste and she greeted Elizabeth, and she could see right away, yes, my cousin too is pregnant. And you think about that. These two women, Mary and Elizabeth, they were like-minded. There's something that they had in common. They could talk to each other about this matter. Sometimes you speak to widows, and widows will tell you that other widows are really the only ones who understand what widows are going through. That's the same idea here. Both these women are pregnant, and neither of them, humanly speaking, should be or could be pregnant. Elizabeth is barren. And children, barren means that she can't have any babies. Her womb won't allow her to have babies. And not only that, she's become very old. She's beyond childbearing days. And Mary, a young teenager, is a virgin. So she can't be pregnant either. So here we have these two women who could understand each other. Who else would believe Mary if she would go and tell her friends and her relatives, guess what? I'm pregnant. But I'm still a virgin. Who's going to believe that? Elizabeth will believe that. Because Elizabeth knows too that it is possible in the impossibilities with God. So these two needed each other to speak with each other. And the Lord in His wonderful providence and in His grace gives His people others to whom they can talk. There are times when we just need to discuss what's on our hearts and what's on our minds. And we need to find somebody we can talk to. You can say, well, why don't you just talk to the Lord? He's always listening. He understands. Yes, that's true. But He gives us communion with other people, with others of His children. That we need somebody to whom we can express the longings of our souls and the fears of our souls and the struggles we go through. That's important in the Christian's life, isn't it? That you have a close brother or sister in the Lord to whom you can speak about all these things, a close Christian friend. What an awesome blessing in a Christian marriage that your closest Christian friend is your Christian wife or husband, to whom you can talk about anything and unburden about all things. Christians need communion with others. Someone who will understand. You too. Do you have someone like that in your life too? If not, you pray to the Lord that He will lead you to that person. It's so necessary to have communion of the saints. We confess that every Sunday afternoon, don't we? I believe the communion of the saints. Well, here we're reading of Mary and Elizabeth. It happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So you can picture this. Mary comes through the front door and she says, Shalom, Elizabeth. That would be the greeting. Shalom, peace to you. And as soon as Elizabeth hears that, a miracle happens. Yes, her baby in her womb is moving around. But this is not the normal movement of a baby. Children, you know what that's like when your mom is pregnant. And she'll tell you sometime, put your hand right there. You can feel the baby kicking. Right? But that's not what's happening here. This is more than just a normal, regular baby kick. The baby says, leaped in her womb. And it's the same phrase that Jesus uses later on in the Sermon on the Mount in Luke 6. He says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Elizabeth says that too in verse 44. The baby leaped for joy. That must have been unexpected for Elizabeth. Unless Zacharias had told her what the angel Gabriel told him, that this baby shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, so that John the Baptist, who that baby of Elizabeth is, was already filled with the Holy Spirit. You could say born again before he's even born. We're the only one in Scripture of whom we're told that he leaped in his mother's womb and that he was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. Well, not only is the baby filled with the Holy Spirit, but his mother is too. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you read Scripture carefully and you do a little word search and you look that little phrase up, filled with the Holy Spirit, then you will find that almost always being filled with the Holy Spirit results in speaking of the Lord God Almighty. Let me give you a few examples. From Acts chapter 2, the apostles were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak. In Acts 4, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, you rulers of the people, and then came his sermon. In Acts 7, we read of Stephen, the full of the Holy Spirit, said, I see heaven opened, and I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And here, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she begins to speak. See it in verse 42. She spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. She spoke loudly. She had something very important to say. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we too begin to speak. We can't contain ourselves. We have to tell somebody what's going on. And here she says, Blessed are you among women. Blessed. Now, when we think of being blessed, we think, for example, of count your many blessings, name them one by one, and we say, we are so blessed. We have food in abundance. We have health. We have a church to go to, a church family. We are so blessed. That's what we think of right away. But that's not what the word blessed here means. The word blessed in this verse comes from the same root word as we have our English word eulogy. You know, at a funeral, sometimes there's a eulogy given. And it simply means to speak well of somebody, to praise somebody, to honor someone. So when Elizabeth says to Mary here, Mary, you are blessed. She's saying, I'm speaking well of you because you are honored. You are favored of God. God has given you the privilege of bearing His Son, the Messiah. Of all the Jewish women God could have chosen, He chose you, Mary, for this great honor. And yet, was it simply because Mary is Mary? Is that why she's called blessed? No, that's not why. No, there's more to it than that. Elizabeth doesn't only say to Mary, Blessed are you among women. Elizabeth knows very well that Mary is a sinner, just like Elizabeth is, just like I am, just like you are. And yet she's blessed. And it's not because of something about Mary herself that she is called blessed. No, there is a reason that Mary is called blessed, and that comes from the second part of verse 42. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Mary, says Elizabeth, you are blessed because of who is in your womb. Mary, you are blessed because the fruit of your womb is blessed. And there we focus on that Advent expectation. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, using the same word, to be praised, to be honored, to speak well of. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. That kind of phrase is used often in Scripture. A few examples, Psalm 45, verse 2, speaking of the Lord Jesus, You are fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. God has praised, God has honored, God speaks well of the Lord Jesus. Psalm 72, Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel. Blessed be His glorious name forever. Praised and honored and spoken well of is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord. They shouted to Jesus on Palm Sunday. Here, blessed is the fruit of your womb. The fruit of your womb. It's not the kind of phrase we normally use, but it simply means the new life that God has placed there Himself through the miraculous ways of natural conception. But here is a virgin's womb. The wonder of God that a virgin would be with child. The womb of the Virgin Mary. According to the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Why is the fruit of Mary's womb so special? It's because of who he is. And who is he? Well, we read it from chapter 1. Gabriel's words, verse 31, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." So blessed indeed is the fruit of Mary's womb, because he's none other than the Son of God, God the Son himself. Gabriel continued, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." So when Mary says, or Elizabeth says, "Blessed is the fruit of your womb," she's saying, blessed is the Son of God. Blessed is Jesus Christ. Blessed is the Son of the Highest. Elizabeth calls him that. Blessed. And notice something else that Elizabeth calls him. She calls him my Lord. My Lord, in verse 43. Why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? That's who she calls blessed, her Lord. And if you're here this morning as a person who loves this Lord and serves this Lord and blesses this Lord and trusts in this Lord and believes on this Lord, and call him blessed, if it rises up in your soul sometimes, "Oh, blessed Jesus, blessed Savior, blessed Christ the Lord, and by his grace you are loving him and serving him, praising him," where does that come from? That is now the fruit of the evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart and your life. Because when the Holy Spirit works, he always leads you to Jesus. He always guides sinners to Christ. He brings guilty sinners to a forgiving Christ. He brings empty sinners to a full Christ. He brings naked sinners to the one who was crucified naked for sinners. He brings sinners who need a covering for their sins to the one who provides a robe of righteousness for that covering. And when that becomes reality, then we begin to see the blackness and the filth of our guilt against the backdrop of his purity and his grace. And it causes us to cry out, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." Causes us to look away from ourselves to the blessed fruit of Mary's womb. When the Holy Spirit is at work, he causes us to see this. Yes, Jesus Christ is blessed. He is to be praised. He is to be honored. We are to speak well of him. And it results in our confessing the Lord Jesus Christ from our hearts, with the mouth, "I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." And it's evidenced with our actions, the good works that inevitably come forth from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the fruit of Mary's womb. Blessed is the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed Mediator. Blessed Redeemer. Blessed Lamb of God. Blessed Lord Jesus. And beloved, nobody sincerely calls Jesus blessed unless the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes to to see His blessedness. Because to unbelievers, the Lord Jesus is an offense. He's a stumbling block, the Bible says. Unbelievers don't know what to do with Jesus because they don't know their sins. They really don't know why Jesus came. They're not burdened with their sins or with their unbelief. They don't know anything of sorrow for sin or sorrow over missing communion with the Lord that's available only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus have to come? The unbeliever says, certainly He didn't have to come for me. I'm not so bad. Really? Are you by grace among those who cannot live without Jesus Christ? And who cannot die without the Lord Jesus Christ? Who can't make ends meet spiritually in their lives without Jesus? Amazing grace, isn't it? Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And then Elizabeth continues, why is this granted to me? That the mother of my Lord should come to me. They say, why am I so richly blessed? Not so much that Mary is there, but the mother of my Lord. That's what's important to Elizabeth. If Mary were not the mother of her Lord, she wouldn't be calling her blessed as she does here. And she wouldn't be saying, blessed is the fruit of your womb. But she says, why is this granted to me? And dear believer, when you consider the grace of God in Christ Jesus the Lord, don't you sometimes say, why? Why is this granted to me? Why did the Lord choose me? She doesn't say, I'm too sinful to be blessed. Or I'm too bad to be blessed. She's beyond that. She just can't understand how the Lord could be so good, so gracious to her, to me. Why is this granted to me? That the mother of my Lord should come. My Lord, she calls Jesus. And you know someone else in the Bible who calls Jesus my Lord? That was Thomas. The end of Gospel according to John. Thomas says to Jesus, my Lord and my God. That's not presumptuous. That's not pride. That's simply stating a fact. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior for our souls, then we believe on Him as our Lord. We need Him not only to save us from our sins, but we need Him to cleanse us from all our sins. Now, we need Him not only to justify us, to declare us righteous, but to sanctify us. We need Him as Lord. And dear believers, you know this in your Christian experience, that you need Him day by day. That you needed Him just as much to save you in the first place as you need Him to keep you saved today and in the future. Is it any wonder that Elizabeth calls Jesus blessed? Praised, honored. Let us speak well of this Jesus. For He is our Lord. Not just our Savior, but our Lord. So Jesus is called blessed. And then believers are called blessed in our text, verse 45. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now the word blessed that Elizabeth uses here in verse 45 is a different word than she used previously. Here it's the Greek word that means happy. Truly happy. It's the same word that's used by the Lord Jesus in the Beatitudes. In the Sermon on the Mount, remember how he says that, children, blessed are the poor, blessed are the hungry, blessed are those who are weeping, blessed are those who are persecuted, blessed are those who are hated for Jesus' sake. That's the word Jesus uses. Truly happy are those people. Or here in Luke 1, we have the first beatitude of the New Testament, where someone is called blessed using this word. Blessed is she who believes. And we could say there, blessed is everyone who believes. Blessed are you who believe. Blessed am I who believe. Remember what Jesus said to Thomas. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. There's that word blessed again, that same word that's used here in verse 45. Truly happy are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So you put those two verses together and we conclude that true blessedness, true happiness is found only in those who believe. So blessed are you, dear believer, because even though you have never seen Jesus, you believe. You trust. You rely on someone with your full confidence. You take him at his word. Then you are blessed, truly happy. Truly happy. So you think about that, the opposite of that. Not to believe God and not to believe in Jesus is utter sadness. Because the opposite of this word, blessed, which means happy, is sad. And if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in a very sad condition. You are sad. Maybe you don't feel sad. Unbelievers don't really feel sad about not believing. But you are. Why are believers blessed? Why are believers happy? Truly, truly happy? Well, the Bible has endless lists of why believers are happy. Truly happy. I'll just give you a few. In Genesis 15, it says that believing is counted to believers for righteousness. Oh, what happiness, what joy that gives in a believer's life to know that I am righteous in Christ. I am righteous with Christ's righteousness. By believing on Him, in John 3, Jesus says, believers do not perish, but have everlasting life. And to know that you have everlasting life, that is a source of joy and true happiness. In John 1 verse 12, John writes, to those that believe on Jesus' name, He gave power to become the sons of God, or the children of God. Oh, to be a child of God. Imagine that. A sinner like you, or a sinner like me. To be a child of God Most High. How happy that should make us. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, I am not ashamed because I know whom I have believed. He's not ashamed. He is happy, truly blessed. By grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Why are believers called blessed? Elizabeth says of Mary, blessed is she that believed. Why, Elizabeth? Why are you calling believers blessed? Why are you calling Mary blessed? Is it because she believed? Sometimes you hear people talk like that. Right? You hear about a tragedy that's happening somewhere and people are interviewed and the reporter will ask, how are you getting through this? Well, I have faith. I have faith. We don't know faith in what or faith in whom. But here, Elizabeth knows that Mary is blessed because she has believed in the Lord. It's not because she believed, but because of who she believed and because of what she believed. And look how the verse ends. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. There will be this fulfillment. It's going to be perfection. It's going to come true. Mary and all other believers are blessed because of the fulfillment of God's word. Mary is not called blessed because of who she is, or what she does, or what she shall do. Mary and all other believers are blessed because of who God is, and what God says, and what God does, and what Christ is, and what He does, and what He is yet going to do. The Lord will perform those things He told Mary. He's going to fulfill it. You remember what Mary said earlier in the chapter, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. She believes, and the Lord rewards his gift of faith to Mary. There will be a fulfillment. There's going to be a completion of what God has said. God is faithful to his word. So Mary's blessedness, this state of happiness and joy in Mary is due to the faithfulness of God keeping His word. And Elizabeth here is not speaking only of the completion of Mary's conception. No, all the things which the Lord has spoken, she says, referring to all the prophecies about this person and the nature and the work of Mary's son. Because the idea in fulfillment is the end goal. What would begin at Mary's conception would never end. Of his kingdom, said Gabriel, there shall be no end. So here, rightly so, Elizabeth loses sight of Mary. And she glorifies the Son of God. And she lifts up the faithfulness of God. She says, Mary, you are blessed. I am blessed. All believers are blessed because of the Lord's faithfulness. If we were to ask all the believers here about their faithfulness, let's measure that on a scale of 1 to 10 or something, right? The believers would have to hang our heads in shame if we want to talk about our faithfulness. But we're not talking about our faithfulness this morning. We're talking about the Lord's faithfulness. And that's why believers are blessed. We are truly happy because the Lord is faithful. Mary is blessed because she received by faith the blessings offered to her. See the relationship between the Word of God and faith? Be it unto me according to your Word. So believing is we give assent, we agree to God who speaks to us. We hold for certain what He has promised to us that He will do. The promise that Gabriel proclaimed didn't come from an angel. It came from the Lord God Himself. And it came at a time in Israel history that was very dark. There hadn't been any prophets for 400 years. Silence from the Lord to His people. It's like Advent time for us too. We live in a dark time too. In this world and in this time. And we, just like the people in Israel, we really have nothing to show to the Lord, do we? The people of Israel couldn't say, Lord, we deserve that you will come back. We deserve that Messiah will come and save us. We are such good people. Don't you see, Lord, how much we love you and how earnest we are? No, we can't say that. Advent time is for sinners. For sinners who have nothing to show to the Lord. We have nothing to plead on in ourselves. But who simply cling to the promise of the Lord. Clinging to the promise of the gospel. Sinners who know why we need Jesus. Sinners who know what to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinners who will flee for refuge to the cross of Christ and take hold of the hope set before us in the holy gospel. Sinners who need Christ for their sins. Who see Him by faith as their substitute. As Peter says it in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. That's why Jesus came. To suffer for sins, as the just one for the unjust. Why? That He might bring us, sinners, to God. So in our daily striving against sin, that we learn to depend on the sinless Jesus. In the daily ups and downs of our spiritual life and spiritual warfare in which we are engaged, that we need Jesus daily. We need Jesus Christ. Because if we're honest, we cannot show Him that we love Him so perfectly, can we? No, we lament, oh, if only I loved Him more. If only I loved Him more sincerely. But you see, in Advent, the focus is not on your love or mine, but the focus is on Christ's love. Christ's love, and not just as a baby in a manger, but as the one of whom we read in John 13, having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. The end being a filthy cross. We need Jesus, beloved, because we cannot show Him that we pray so fervently. In fact, many times we have to say, while we're praying or after prayer, what was that? My mind was wandering all over. Maybe I'm the only one who's like that. No? But you see, in Advent time, we're not focusing on how good we pray, but we're focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we remember His perfect prayer in John 17. I pray for them whom Thou hast given Me. That means, dear believer, the Lord Jesus Christ there was praying for you. And He's still praying for you now. He ever lives to make intercession for those who come to God by Him. We need the Lord Jesus Christ, and we become very much aware of it during Advent time. Because our faith is so fickle, so feeble, so wavering. That when we read in the Bible that Jesus says to his disciples, "Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then we know he's talking to me. Or when he says in the parallel passage to that, "How is it that you have no faith?" He said that to his disciples, to believers. How is it that you have no faith? And he has to say that to his people these days too. Very often. And you see, so in Advent time we learn to pray, pleading the faithfulness of the Son of God. We learn to pray looking to the Son of God, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we repeat after the apostles, "Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith." What do you have to show the Lord Jesus? To show Him how worthy you are that He will come again? Do you serve the Lord with such great zeal? Do you obey Him in all things? Do you and I look to His zeal and His perfect obedience? That's what we do at Advent time. We look to Christ. Do you understand everything you read in your Bible? No, I don't either. So we turn to Him and we say, "Lord, open our understanding." And He does that, doesn't He? Just like He did for those two men on the road to Emmaus. Then He opened their understanding, opening the Scriptures for them. Do you always speak well of Him at every opportunity? No matter who you're talking to? No? See how Advent is for imperfect people, for sinners. Because at Advent, all our attention is directed to the perfect Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the fruit of Mary's womb. Blessed are they who believe. In Advent season, we see the blessed Lord Jesus, the one who is praised and honored, the one of whom we speak well. And that blessed Lord Jesus is pleased to reveal Himself in the Word of God to those blessed people, those truly happy people who by grace believe in Him and cannot live another moment without Him and dare not think of death without Him. People who can't go through life missing communion with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, our text says there shall be a fulfillment of those things that the Lord has spoken. And that's true of everything the Lord has spoken. I'd like us to see in closing here the connection between verses 37, 38, and 45. See, in verse 37, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." In Greek, the word "nothing" there is literally "no word." So with God, no word shall be impossible. You put that in positively, with God, every word He speaks shall be possible. When we say that something is impossible, and the Bible says, no, with God, every word He speaks shall be possible. And then verse 38, "Let it be to me according to your word." And verse 45, "There shall be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." So, when God speaks, then it's not any longer impossible. And we reply in faith, "Be it unto me according to your word." And we grab that promise. There shall be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And we apply it to all the promises of Scripture. It's like the promise that came to Abraham in Genesis 18. Where God says to him, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, Sarah shall have a son. In other words, nothing is too hard for the Lord. And especially in Advent time, beloved, we look for the day of His return. And as we deal with our lack of zeal or our wavering faith and our sins, and as we tend to spend much time looking downward and inside, let's not forget to look up and out and forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. When everything seems to be impossible, then His Word says, He who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There shall be a fulfillment of that, says God's holy word. When everything seems to be impossible, and we read Psalm 50, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. And we think that's it's impossible for me in my situation, but what does the Bible say? Every word with God is possible. Not only possible, but there shall be a fulfillment of that word. When we come to a place where we say, it all is impossible, and Jesus Christ calls to us, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul. And not only is that possible, but our text says there shall be a fulfillment of that word. When we think everything is impossible, and we don't know how we're going to go ahead, how we're going to make ends meet spiritually or what any other way, we turn to the Word of God and we read Philippians 4:19, and we'll close with that. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And that's not only possible. There shall be a fulfillment of that too. Blessed are they who believe. Do you? Amen.